This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What a night last night in the NBA as we welcome you back into Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Also coming up this hour, we'll talk more hoops with Doug Kazarian, launch his new sports network, Doug Kazarian Sports Network, show Hard Pass, breaking down all things NBA and WNBA. Full card in the W tonight. He'll give us the lowdown on. Also, JVT has been writing the daily articles in MLB with Adam Burke out of town. We'll get your thoughts, of course, on the 15-game slate coming up tonight in baseball and best bets at the end of the hour. But when I say what a night last night in the NBA, it was also quite a night in my household, JVT. Okay. I have been telling you for the last, I don't know, at least 3 to 4 weeks that I've been trying to get the Pop-Tarts ice cream sandwiches. They're only available at one store, and every time I have gone to said store, they have been sold out.
Grocery store or like a specialty store?
It's Walmart. I was trying not to buffer up big brands.
Okay, but gotcha.
They don't need any more pub. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you could have just said like giant monster chain, and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. There's a lot of those, though.
Yeah, I didn't need the specifics.
All right. Well, anyways, they're only available there, and I'm not typically a big Walmart person, but I've gone repeatedly. I've gone repeatedly in the hopes of getting these Pop-Tarts ice cream sandwiches. We finally delivered last night, and I gotta say, delightful. I was so excited because I've hyped them up so much in my head. I was actually really nervous that it was going to be bad because I've just, you know how that happens when you go to a movie, you've heard all these great things about it, and then you finally go and it's just eh.
Sure.
It was amazing. I was so happy. It was so good. They only had the strawberry flavor in stock.
Okay.
So I want to try the brown sugar ones. I think those are going to be fire.
Is that all they've made? Is just the two? Or I thought
they also have chocolate fudge.
Okay. All right. Is what kind of ice cream is it?
For that one, is chocolate.
So do they pair the ice cream with, like,
yes.
Is it, so is it strawberry ice cream?
The strawberry one is strawberry ice cream, and it's got, like, strawberry jam in the ice cream, too.
I would assume they're real Pop-Tarts, right? Like, are they sizable to real Pop-Tarts?
So that's the thing that surprised me. Okay. It's not a real life-size standard Pop-Tart, so it's not huge. Mm-hmm. They're kind of mini, which is probably better because I don't know if you've ever looked at the calories on a Pop-Tart. It's not great, so they're probably just trying to make
it's not part of a balanced breakfast.
The serving size a little smaller.
That's shocking. I thought it was part of a very good breakfast for you.
It is.
I would prefer, I feel like in real life, toasted and hot Pop-Tarts paired with the ice cream would be a good combo.
So that's something my brother and I were talking about last night. The chocolate fudge Pop-Tart, if you could have that be warm on the sandwich side.
Package the ice cream separate with the Pop-Tarts, toast the Pop-Tarts, put them together.
We're giving Pop-Tarts a lot of ideas. I'm still waiting to get the call up for the Pop-Tart Bowl, but neither here nor there. It was awesome, though, and I highly recommend them. If you had to choose,
as a sideline reporter that has respect for the craft, if you had to choose between the national championship game, you're kicking Molly McGrath to the side, said, sorry, we need some new blood. It's Stormy Bonantoni. We're calling you. Or the Pop-Tart Bowl.
This is such a ridiculous question.
Why is it ridiculous?
It's a ridiculous question.
Pop-Tart Bowl?
Obviously.
Sorry.
No.
I was going to say, yeah, you're right. It's a ridiculous question. I think Molly McGrath is very good at her job. So please,
oh, no. She's excellent. But I would maybe if she moves on to the NFL one day, there's an opening. You know, got to work our way up here. But I think the Pop-Tart Bowl would be a very natural stepping stone in the route to that goal, you know? That said, let's get into what I was watching while I was devouring the Pop-Tart ice cream sandwiches, which, and yes, I said that plural because there were a few that were consumed. But we had game five, in the NBA Finals. We see the OKC Thunder take that advantage. They go up 3-2. It got dicey there for a minute. And I know we're going to get into your NBA Finals MVP ladder here in a minute, but was there any part of you, as someone who has fully believed in the Thunder as much as you have this season and fully are in full force that they're going to come out and win this thing, was there any part of you that was like, wow, they're going to let this go again when it was a 95-93 game, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, like, you know, despite popular belief, of course, like you have to, again, you have to move with some new evidence, and we have watched this now. I mean, we watched it on that Friday night out in Omaha where I think I even said it when we were sitting at the booth. I was like, the Pacers are going to F around here and win the series. You know, they when you're watching this team cut back into this deficit and it's down to that two-point margin like you're talking about, and they have no answer for T.J. McConnell, and then you're watching Pascal Siakam really start to wreck this defense. Of course, you have to think that, all right, here we go again. You've been it was almost reminiscent of game one, right? Remember in game one, throughout that entire game, it was like a 13 to 15-ish point lead for Oklahoma City throughout the entire game. And then all of a sudden, late third quarter, early fourth, Pacers are just chipping away, chipping away, and all of a sudden they're back into it. It seemed very reminiscent of that. But obviously, for a second consecutive game, locking in defensively and shutting down Indiana the way that they did once more, it was absolutely incredible to watch. But I think it was human nature. I think all of us who have watched the series probably thought, like, oh, here comes Indiana again. Like, this is what they're going to do. And the thought entered my mind, too, when they cut it down to two, and I'm sure a lot of people thought this, too, which was they're doing this with Halliburton doing absolutely nothing.
Yep.
So, yeah, of course. I thought that was totally a possibility last night.
Big, the 5-0 run that kind of followed that. None bigger than I think that Jalen Williams three, which just was an exclamation point on what was an exclamation point night for him. Yep. 40 points. He has been awesome the last couple of games of this series after what was a slow start. Is he the number two on your MVP ladder list now? I would assume with Shea being minus 550 in the market that he's number one still.
It has to be. By the way, quick side note, fourth quarter defensive rating over the last two games for the Oklahoma City Thunder, 102.2. They've been brilliant in the fourth quarter. So the MVP ladder simply breaks down, I think, easy. It's like 1-2-3. Again, we've talked about this for the rankings. Like 1-2-3 is always easy. If you could put it on its side, though, and see the gap between 1-2-3, like a horse race, it's probably a lot farther in between. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at number one. Look, Jalen Williams at number two. And I did want to stop there for a moment. The last three games for the Oklahoma City Thunder, in which they are 2-1, Jalen Williams has averaged 31 points, 6.3 rebounds, and 3 assists on 50% shooting and 40% shooting from three. He has done that on a usage rate nearly at 33%. He has been brilliant these last three games. And again, there's probably not many universes in which Shea is going to they're going to win this award and Shea doesn't. But Stormy, can I paint a picture of, like, let's just say, like, a 20-point performance, 25-point performance from Shea, and what if Jalen Williams goes out there on the road, gives us another 30 in a closeout game? Just an ad, like a 36-2 or 36-3. Could it be enough to actually steal this from Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? He has been brilliant, and that would make the last four games of the series, if he does it, absolute brilliance from Jalen Williams. And if he averages over 30 points over the last four games of a series and then goes on the road and has a better performance than Shea, it's not the craziest thing in the world, right?
I don't want to say it's not the craziest thing in the world, but do you think that Shea's going to take any step back?
No, I mean,
so if he's baseline Shea,
right,
and Jalen continues to be great, but Shea stays baseline,
yeah,
I don't think he can lose.
Because here's the thing, and I think what you're getting at here too, when it comes to these awards, is the probability of Jalen Williams winning this award probably higher than plus 750? Sure. Are there more voters who are going to vote for this that think higher of Jalen Williams or are strongly considering giving him a vote? Potentially. But at the same time, is he really going to get 5 out of 4 votes?
Right.
Or, excuse me, 5 out of 9
right,
and win that thing 5-4? I think that's unlikely. As far as the Indiana Pacers are concerned, I think this is the most interesting conversation here at this point right now, which is how do the Pacers stack up? If the Pacers go on to win this series, I don't think it's even close. Pascal Siakam, I've talked about this with Dave. If you like the Pacers to win the series, if you still believe that they could pull this off, why would you bet them to win the series? I would bet Pascal Siakam at 12-1 to win Finals MVP. I don't think there's any question that should they move on, win the next two games, and win this series, they will not do it without Siakam performing well. Siakam, I think, has lapped Tyrese Halliburton in terms of his consistency and his impact on these games. And I think at 12-1, like, that is the play. It is not 9-1 on Indiana. It is bet Pascal Siakam to win Finals MVP if you think they're going to pull this off.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you can't even make the argument for Halliburton, even if he's great the last couple games. You have a no-show like this, and I know he's dealing with a calf injury, but you go 0-for from the floor.
Yep.
You have, what was it, one shot attempt in the second half? Like, that, it's just, that's not going to work. Plus, I think people forget, because he's had so many great clutch moments late in these games in the fourth quarter, that he hasn't been good for three quarters of a lot of them as well. So I feel like the Tyrese Halliburton is a non-starter if the Pacers come back in the series. I think it's unbettable. I think genuinely you are, and I hate saying this, but I think genuinely you are wasting your money if you place a bet in the NBA Finals MVP market right now. It's Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He's going to win it. And unless you have a bankroll to lay 550, it's not worth it.
Yep. And that's why, like, this exercise is really, when it gets to a series like this where pretty much everything's decided.
I appreciate the argument for Jalen Williams. I just don't think we get there.
Sure. And, like, even right now, like, I'm sorry, if we reveal 4-5 too, like, TJ McConnell, I think, actually has a better standing to win MVP than Tyrese Halliburton at this point.
And are you going to bet the 12-1 on Pascal Siakam? Because, like,
no,
do you believe that the Pacers are going to come back? I don't.
Yeah, right.
So
that's what I said. If you believe the Pacers are coming back here, I think Siakam's a play. But, like, McConnell, the guy's shooting 54% from the floor in the series. He has 21 assists and 10 steals in the series so far. His minutes off the bench the other night, yesterday, were absolutely brilliant. In two games so far in this series, Halliburton has been very mute, has been very quiet. His claim to fame is obviously the game winner for game one. He's going to stay inside of the top five because of that. But to your point, this overall exercise, you come away with, I think, a couple of things. The first thing is Shea's going to win this if they win the finals. The second being, if you like the Pacers again to win this thing, it's Siakam or nothing. I don't think he's going to lose out on that award to Tyrese Halliburton. Unless he's going to have back-to-back 40-point games and, like, two game winners.
Last 60 seconds, any initial thought on this game six line? We're sitting 5 right now, total 224.5.
I think I'm going to get the number I want. I think it's going to get to, like, 4.5, 4. Yeah. So I'll, if that's
lay
the point,
short number with OKC.
Yeah. Like, again, the last four games of this series, they have won 3 out of the last 4 games and have a net rating of about plus 6.9, I think somewhere in that range. They have been everything we expected them to be. They have shut down the Pacers throughout the course of this series. I don't need to eliminate game one. Throughout the course of this series, they have shut down the Pacers in transition, save for one game. They are starting to impose their will defensively over the course of this set. Why would I not believe that this is not going to be the case?
And if this SGA and Jalen Williams duo keep playing at this level, I feel like it's going to be pretty darn hard to slow them down. Then you tie in everything you're talking about with the defensive prowess that OKC comes with. Okay, we'll talk more about this and get Doug Kazarian's thoughts a little bit later on in the hour. But when we come back, our first look at what is a 15-game slate in MLB and what we saw from Shohei yesterday on the Hill. And then, by the way, just turns around and hits leadoff. So look at this guy. We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking to get in on some horse racing action, First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races each and every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use our promo code VSiN200. That'll help you score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today. Again, head over to firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Alongside JVT, Stormy Bonantoni with you, live
you
in downtown
so happy.
Las Vegas.
You sound so happy that I'm your co-host.
I am. Stormy. I'm the happiest.
You don't sound annoyed at all.
I think you're wonderful. People on social media, y'all are kind of crazy sometimes. But, hey, keep tweeting at us. Appreciate the engagement. At me, JVT. Definitely send them all to him. At Stormy Bonantoni, at VSiN Live.
I know why, because I can take it.
Also remember, if you missed any of the show, and we had a really, although the final comment from Bob Wischusen on Conn Smythe did throw us both.
That's interesting, man.
His breakdown of what the game needs to look like for Edmonton to be in it, I thought was very, very interesting and really, really good. So if you want more on that segment, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts. Plenty of NBA talk today. Plenty of NHL talk today. We're going to get into a little Major League Baseball. What is the thumb?
Like, rate, review, subscribe.
Yes, definitely. You got to get it in your downloads every morning. You got to start.
That's right.
Get it locked and loaded.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Please help us. Yeah. Little MLB stuff coming on today. JVT has been writing the daily articles in Adam Burke's stead while he is out of the country now.
Before we get to tonight, though, can we give our boy his flowers?
Shohei?
Yeah, we saw him last night.
Full
What'd
inning.
You think?
After 21 months since his second elbow surgery, more than a year since he signed with the Dodgers.
This might shock some people. He used to play for the Angels, and the last time he pitched was in an Angels uniform.
Yes.
This might shock some people in Southern California.
So, okay, before we get into exactly how his inning went.
Yes, he's the greatest
Went
of all time.
One inning yesterday. Shut up. The way that he's doing this is very unique in that instead of doing, like, rehab starts at a lower level. He's just coming out in MLB games. Did that surprise you? Like, you watch a lot more baseball than me. How common is this? I don't feel like you see this.
No, I don't think it's not too common. We've seen a couple of guys. There's one that escapes me this year, but there was a high profile return just like 2 weeks ago where the guy didn't have any rehab starts. Spencer Strider, I think, didn't do any rehab starts. And he just came right out and was like, good to go. I could be misremembering the name, but there's been quite a few guys that don't really take rehab starts and will come out. So I don't think it's the craziest in the world that he's coming out and trying to get back into these things. But I think, look, there's also the part of him which is Ohtani's just kind of wild, man. Like, there's a competitive nature to this where it's like, no, I'm going to come out. I'm ready. And I'm ready to go right at it. Now, we talked about this yesterday. We almost got there with the walk. He was a little iffy with the command at some point.
Yeah.
Had a wild pitch in the at-bat against Arise where he almost hit him. And actually, Fernando Tatis got an extra base because of it. There was a couple of times where he was kind of working the count, got a little deep in some of them. So I thought he actually was going to get one of those walks that we were discussing. But ultimately, 28 pitches to get out of one inning, it's a little high. I think you kind of saw some of the issues with the command, but this is why you just, hey, throw him out there for one inning, and then we'll have our millionth bullpen game of the year, and we'll work from there. So early lead, did pretty well. Probably should have gotten, I think it was Machado out that ultimately left to like a bloop single and then a sack fly.
He scores, yep. Yeah.
So either way, good start. They'll stretch him out, and then by the time we get to the end of the year, Ohtani will be pitching games, full games, and it'll be interesting to watch him do that. And then, as you mentioned, going to break, running to the dugout to get the equipment on so that he can get right back because he's batting leadoff.
He goes right to the dugout, grabs his helmet, and he's hitting leadoff. And he went 2-for-4 at the plate with 2 RBI and reached 100 in his first game back, too. The only one follow-up I was going to say to your comment about Strider coming right out was, like, is it different when it's a hamstring versus an elbow?
Sure.
I don't know. Like, that was it just felt unique to me, but I guess maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit. But good for him, finally out there, and now just furthering the cause for his MVP bid, which he is minus 500 for already. Yeah. Nowhere near the Aaron Judge minus 6,000 that's over there in the AL. But
I am curious. I mean, like, to that point, it is a pretty interesting dynamic, which is, okay, yes, I think from a hitting standpoint, he deserves to be favored. And obviously the odds would indicate this. Of the two, him and Judge, I think he is the one that is, like, a little bit more fragile. But, again, he's still minus 500. But, like, you're talking about here. So, again, he pitched one inning, threw 28 pitches. It's probably going to be like this for a while. Does that really, like, put the thumb on the scale for MVP that much if he's just working his way back?
But is he hitting good enough?
Right, that's what I'm saying, right? So, like, he might be hitting well enough to, again, I think it kind of goes back to what we just talked about, which is, like, hey, theoretically, could, like, a Pete Crow Armstrong have a better chance at winning this than what he, ultimately, we're just wasting our time arguing probabilities when the reality is he's still going to win this award. So that's what I was just thinking, because I think a lot of people do believe that, and I think there's something to it. But last night, ultimately, he's the MVP. I don't watch that and go, man, that's really helping his case. Throwing 28 pitches, kind of working to find the strike zone, and just getting out of one inning. So we'll see again. He'll be like this for a while. He's probably still going to win it, but I was telling you guys during the break, I was just trying to find somebody else to bet for MVP in both of these leagues, and it's like, I can't do it ultimately.
I don't think you have anything in this game, but just for inquiring minds, Dodgers and Padres going head-to-head again today. LA minus 226 in the nightcap. Padres plus 181 run total up from the 9.5 to 10. Dodgers don't have a listed starter. Padres going with Randy Vasquez to start things off. Tough stretch for San Diego. Lost 4 of their last 5, dating back to June 4th. As we were talking yesterday about how good the Orioles have been the last 2 weeks, the Padres just 4-8 over the last couple weeks.
Real quick, and the follow-up to what you're talking about with Ohtani, as it was just pointed out to me, shout out to Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Remember, to make a rehab start, you have to be sent down. And so you're not going to send Ohtani down to go and do that.
Valid.
So I think that's also part of the reason why you're not going to go and do it with the rehab starts. As far as tonight is concerned, I didn't have anything in the Padres-Dodgers game. So let's go to a couple of other spots. I will go to Phillies and Marlins first, only because this is one that I wanted to bet in some form or fashion, but kind of got priced out when looking around the market. I actually wrote this up and then had to just, like, get rid of it because I couldn't really find anything. But Jesus Luzardo, my guy, gets the start tonight for the Philadelphia Phillies.
You got a lot of guys.
Well, you doubted Jesus Luzardo and his greatness.
I did.
I think it's somewhat fair after giving up 20 earned runs in 2 starts. I say somewhat, but I believe you persevere. Luzardo, outside of the 2 starts in which he had absolutely gotten nuked, He's been incredible. He's been great. And bounced back from those two starts, shut down Chicago. So now he gets to go on the road against Marlins.
He's been incredible. It was one game. It's been six innings.
What do you mean? No, I said outside of those two starts.
Okay. I thought you meant since.
No, I was like,
what? Okay, if you look at, prior
to the two starts, he had an ERA of like 2.12. Fielding independent was under three. And then bounces back immediately with the six innings against Chicago. So he is, outside of those two starts, been great. But I was trying to find something today, like in terms of total outs or earned runs, things like that, some sort of props revolving around Luzardo to perform very well against the Marlins lineup, which has not played and hit particularly well at home so far this year. Everything's priced pretty high, though. You know, total outs over 17.5 is floating around, like minus 175. The earned runs under is a very high price as well, which I think is pretty much accurately priced. So I think Luzardo can come out, have a pretty good performance here today, give his team the best opportunity to win this. Obviously, I'm not saying anything crazy, but wanted to point out that Luzardo, the props, market believes in him just as much as I do, at least to an extent today, and I got priced out there. So interesting to see if he can continue this going, or if the two starts prior to the good one against Chicago are a little bit more the real deal. But I would argue that more the real deal is all of the other starts around those two outings. So with that, we'll go to the actual bets that I've made. Angels at Yankees, we'll start here. Kyle Hendricks, Will Warren getting the start. I am, as I put in the article today, a Will Warren truther. I do think that Warren is actually a pretty good pitcher. I think that there's a lot for his underlying metrics to point to that. 486 ERA, 323 fielding independent over 14 starts. I think the thing that really works well for Warren in a start like this is his ability to generate swings and misses against an Angels lineup that is very much feast or famine. But you look at Warren, he gets opposing hitters to whiff 27.9% of the time. He struck out 28% of the batters he's faced. This Angels lineup leads the league overall in strikeout rate away from home. They strike out 25% of the time. 24th in WOBA on the road, but second in home runs. Again, it's that feast or famine kind of outcome for the Angels. I think Warren's going to be able to match up well here. And on the flip side, and I should also note, too, for Warren, does a good job of keeping the ball down. In his start so far this year, just six homers in 63 innings. So I don't think he's going to get got by a lineup that is reliant on their power. And on the other side, it's Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks has been awful, right? 6.37 ERA on the road, 6.04 fielding independent. New York's in a bit of a slump. They're hitting 171 over the last five games. They've been shut out in the last two, but the weather's a little bit better today, and I would expect that they can bounce back pretty nicely here. So I thought Yankees minus 127 on the -1.5 run line for the game was worth playing here. So Yankees run line. And I know you've got a play. We have a similar play here, a correlated play. But give me Andy Abbott under 2.5 earned runs today against the Minnesota Twins. Abbott's great. Really knows some signs of regression, but not anything crazy that he would have like this violent fall to earth. Twins lineup has been really average against lefties so far this season. I think Abbott can have a good one. So I went under 2.5 earned runs today with Abbott.
I love that. 6-1, 1.87 ERA, coming off a complete game shutout of the Guardians. And then what I took was the F5 money line on Cincinnati. So this will be one of my best bets at the end of the hour. But the Reds, fourth best offense in the first five of games this season. And I think, too, we saw the bats get hot against Detroit the last couple games. And if they can carry over some of that confidence, I think, into this one with the Twins, why not? It is juicy. Minus 145, minus 150 for that price on the F5 money line. I prefer that, though, than the run line. So that's the way I'm rolling with it. More on that a little bit later on when we come back. Doug Kazarian joining us coming up after this of the Doug Kazarian Sports Network, his new venture. Get his breakdown on the NBA Finals as well as a loaded card in the W coming up tonight. Don't go anywhere.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl to everything VSiN has to offer. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows through the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics, betting tools, and more, all on VSiN.com. Don't miss out the early bird deal. VSiN.com/subscribe, helping you lock in our football special for just $175. Again, that's VSiN.com/subscribe. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Money Move, SiriusXM channel 158. Excited to welcome in our good friend of the show, Doug Kazarian, on the Progressive Guest Line. Recently launched the Doug Kazarian Sports Network on YouTube, new series Hard Pass. You can follow him on X as well, at Doug Kazarian. Welcome in, Doug. Congrats on the new venture. What can people expect when they check out Hard Pass?
Thanks a lot, guys. Good to be with you. Yeah, it's not betting specific as opposed to some other stuff I do. This is just sports, and for now, it's basketball. You know I'm a WNBA diehard as well, college hoops, so it's going to be all basketball 3 days a week for now, and obviously the NBA Finals in its apex right now, but it's just a little bit of everything, and it's a new world. You youngins compared to me should know. I think I should lean on people like you to understand YouTube and everything, but no, I've partnered with a company that does understand, so I can just focus on content and talking basketball and doing things that interest me, whether it's going stuff that's going viral or breaking down the NBA. We'll do a little betting. It just every day has sort of different sort of animal. I get to go rant a little bit about stuff that I don't understand, why certain things exist a certain way. So it's a little bit of everything, but it's been a lot of fun. I have a studio at home, so I could just pump out content and talk sports all day and not have to worry about anything else.
You should call that segment, "It's Time for Doug to Shake His Fist at the Sun." I think that would be a very good one for you. You just complain about things like an old man. All right, really quickly, did you open up today's show with, I think I read this quote, maybe it was from your show, quote, "I have never seen a game with Michael Jordan on the court where Scottie Pippen was a number one option." That happened last night with Jalen Williams. Shea, a fraud, because Jalen Williams actually showed up and scored more points than him in an NBA Finals.
Yeah, it was nice to see J. Will not wet the bed like he did last year in the playoffs. But I've been a fan, and it's a great story, right? To see a guy come from out of nowhere, get drafted even higher than many people thought, and then to actually come to fruition and deliver on the biggest stage. He certainly is the Scottie Pippen to SGA's Michael Jordan. And he played great, especially when the Pacers cut it to two. But let's not dismiss SGA's 31-10 and the fact that SGA's been fantastic. I do not understand these finals MVP odds. I cannot believe SGA is minus 550 when the Thunder are 1600. I think this is free money. If you think the Thunder are going to win the title, there's no way I would ever lay $16 when I could get SGA at minus 550. I don't think he'll get more than one vote. And Hubie Brown's no longer voting. And he's catching shrapnel now, but he's the guy who voted for Fred VanVleet the year Kawhi got every other vote in the finals. J-Will, there's a big leap between saying somebody's having a breakout performance and delivering like an all-star and maybe outscoring the star for one game and saying they should get finals MVP votes. Are we just going to ignore the games he shoots under 500 and then SGA goes for 30-plus and carries the team and he's the head of the snake and he's the league MVP? And let's also discuss awards voting. People are very self-conscious and don't want to be blasted. So when their votes are publicized, the last thing they want to do is come under fire. So it's a lot of sheep mentality, which we know from league awards. So the last thing someone's going to do when there's only 9 votes or something is take a giant leap on J-Will when SGA, the league MVP, is actually having a great NBA Finals. So there's a big difference between saying some guy's playing really well and may have been the key in a win versus he's going to get finals MVP votes. And on top of that, the majority of them, it's just not happening. SGA minus 550 is a great bet. And you can always come back a little bit with the Pacers plus the points or even money line in game 7 to minimize your risk if it gets that far.
Yeah, I said a little bit earlier, I felt like if you're betting this market, you're just wasting money unless you have the bankroll to bet Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. JVT, I appreciate the argument that he made for Pascal Siakam, if you like the Pacers to come back, but I just don't. And I don't know if you feel like they have a shot in this series. They obviously made their presence known. They go up 2-1, but OKC, and JVT did a great job listing off like all of the different analytics and the defensive numbers and all of these things, that they're just the better team. I find it very hard to believe that they don't win this thing.
You know, it reminds me of the 2015 Warriors, right? They were the favorites coming in. They were analytically driven all season, but everyone was dismissing them. Charles Barkley said, you can't win shooting threes. And just because they hadn't done it, no one thought they were going to do it. But at some point, you have to do the first, right? Phil Mickelson won his first major at some point. Virginia got over the hump and won a national title. So the teams that get dismissed, they're always going to be dismissed until they actually do it. Now, with this Thunder team, as much as they've played with their food and they're not that dominant and they're young, they're also a team that's answered the call both times they've been down 2-1 in a series. Ironically, same as the 2015 Warriors, they were down 2-1 in the conference semis and the finals. But they've answered the call. The game 4 against the T-Wolves when they were up 2-1 in the Western Conference Finals, fantastic performance. The problem with the Pacers was game 4 because in order to pull off this type of upset, they were following the script and the anatomy of an upset. They stole game one when they had no business winning it. Then they stole game three with the bench performance, and then Mathurin and McConnell both off the bench, right? So they really just needed two more wins led by their all-stars. They didn't need four wins. They stole basically two wins, and so now they just needed their two wins, and they didn't get it in game four, and they blew the series in game four, in my opinion. Now, it's not completely out of the realm that they would win games six and seven. I just worry with Halliburton's injury, so I'm really torn here because I wanted to bet the Pacers in game six before game five, but now after seeing game five, I'm not so ready to run to the window and fire on that.
All right, I want to pick your brain on some of the WNBA stuff, but first off, I just have to say that I probably should just start betting this. We have some of these games, Doug. I mean, what happened in the Seattle-Los Angeles game? There's a massive line move there from the open. Las Vegas and Minnesota, we saw a pretty good move in favor of the Lynx as well. What's behind some of these big line moves we're seeing today?
Well, that's the Asia Wilson status, right? She's missed a couple games. She is her or Caitlin Clark probably the most valuable to the point spread. So it was kind of tenuous whether she was going to return from her injury. She had a concussion, I believe, or a head injury. So she's officially out. The Aces just aren't that good. They don't have any depth whatsoever that they've had in years past. Their bench is just nowhere near the same. And the Lynx are a juggernaut. But the problem is the best time to bet the Lynx was the last game, coming off a loss, facing a team that's not good off an upset win. I don't think there's much value left on the Lynx, but that's why the line has moved. We've seen massive steam on the Mystics. It's my only bet for today is the first half with the Washington Mystics. If you want to throw a little first quarter as well, that's fine too. It's just a great spot. They're a decent team, and they're coming off a 30-plus point blowout to the hands of the Dream. And now they're facing a Sky team that's probably still celebrating Angel Reese's first career triple-double and got the nice win at home over the Connecticut Sun. So I think it's just a really good spot for the Mystics. But I was talking to a very sharp bettor last night. During the afternoon, we were talking, yeah, I like the Mystics tomorrow of all these games. And he goes, me too. And then he texted me at night. He goes, what's up with this line? And that's when it was three. He says, yep. I was looking for Mystics plus two. I was hoping for. Well, now it's Mystics minus 4.5. It feels extreme, but they are just so much better. Mystics lost their point guard and captain, Courtney Vandersloot, for the season. They have no ball handling. They have HBL, who's okay. But just because the Sky looked decent against the Sun, who stink, doesn't mean they're going to be able to hang with the Mystics. I think the Mystics are going to spank them. So I do like first half. I think that there's more of a disparity, if you will, the narrative of one team off a loss. But I think they cover this on the road. I want no part of the home dog here.
Big picture, we've only got about 90 seconds, but you mentioned Angel Reese recording the triple-double. You are somebody who is more of a believer in Angel Reese than a lot of the social media folks out there. And I do think the trademarking of Mebounds is pretty hilarious, but she does lead the league in rebounds. She puts up numbers. Meanwhile, the team, as you mentioned, struggles often. So how do you handicap this team and her in particular, big picture?
Well, I'm not a proponent of martingaling, but if you were to martingale in this world, it would be every team total quarter under for this team. They just can't score, but that's not necessarily her fault. She has limitations, but what NBA, what basketball player doesn't? She's good at a lot of things. All I hear about is what she can't do. She literally led the league in rebounding last year and is leading it this year. If it's so easy, why doesn't anyone else do it? And if it's so easy, why doesn't the player who was drafted third ahead of her, who's 6'7", do it? No, she can't, because she's lumbering up the court and she's a detriment to the offense because she's out of shape or she's not fast enough. Like, all I hear is what she can't do. And trust me, she can't. She's limited offensively in ways that I can't understand or comprehend, but whatever, she'll get better. She's Ben Wallace combined with Mason Plumlee. That's what she is, but she's an all-star. And the team lost their point guard. They haven't drafted well. Their Haley Van Lith or whoever's running the point is not good. So the team stinks. But she's fine. Like, she's going to be good. She's okay. She's an all-star, whatever. I don't focus on what she isn't. I think she catches heat, and it is what it is. I just kind of laugh at some of the stuff, but I agree with you, Stormy. The Mebounds is fantastic. Why not incorporate the Miss, as in Mrs., like Miss Angel or something like that? That could be something that goes viral, right?
See, that's what you can trademark. Make sure. So you start that and then get the Mebounds hat and you'll have the whole thing together. Doug, appreciate the time as always, buddy. Doug Kazarian, Sports Network, everybody. Make sure you check it out as soon as you can. Follow him on X as well, at Doug Kazarian. We will be right back on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
commercial break to go full on TSA pre-check, but something that I stand by. If you don't have it, I don't know. Right. I don't know what you're doing.
Because you're a bougie traveler. Not all of us are like that.
I think if you make one flight a year for 5 years, it is worth it. One round trip flight a year.
I maybe, if we're talking about on average rolling over the last like 3 years, I'm probably at like 1.2 flights a year, if that.
How much longer were you sitting in the TSA pre-check line at Omaha than me?
Like, I don't know, like 20 minutes?
20 minutes. I walked right in. No line. Sure. Nothing. Just walked straight in there.
And what was the difference between you and I getting on the plane?
Didn't have
nothing.
No, but it's like,
outside of Miss A1 over here on the boarding party.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize like you like lines and you like being surrounded by so many people because you're super social and that's a really good time for you.
No, I'm just not a stuck-up traveler like you who gets to jet set all over the place.
Jet set? As I'm out here, like, I'm on Southwest all the time.
Yes, all the time. I take maybe one flight a year.
It's like $75 for 5 years.
Right, but why would I pay that?
What are you betting on a game? That's not worth it for you to travel once a year?
The point is why would I pay that? And Ortega brought up a great point of the break, which is I was going to call it McCarran. I know Harry Reid International Airport. Like, that's an easy security to get through. I've never had the problem. So I'm going to need to pay that on the off chance that one time I'm going to run into
an
Omaha-esque airport where there was one security check-in.
You really never travel. You never travel.
No.
Ever.
I'm not saying ever. I'm saying, like, I will usually go with local to the Super Bowl once a year.
Okay.
And then maybe.
That's like, worth it to me.
Maybe I'll be up to two if Omaha becomes, like, a yearly thing.
That's worth
but,
it to
like,
me.
But, like, that's, to me, I think, why?
It's so worth it to me. I don't like taking off my shoes. I don't like taking all my stuff out
of my
bag.
Love taking off my shoes.
I don't like being in line for an hour plus. There was one airport I was in this past year where when the TSA pre-check line is long, you know it's a bad day for the regular travelers, and it was taking hours
for
people
to get
through.
Wow, you hear what she just called us? Regular.
Regular, yes. Yes. Regular. Get it together, guys.
The arrogance.
I know what I got to get you guys for Christmas now.
The arrogance.
It's all coming together. Because I can't handle this.
You normies.
And I forced my husband to get it because I said I will not wait for you. I don't do it.
Did you hear this? I feel like I'm coming off across way better.
It's the best present ever.
I'm way more
relatable. I know exactly what I'm getting you guys for vacation. Okay, if I'm wrong, let us know. Tweet at us, at MeJVT, at Storm Bonantoni, at Beeson Live. Very curious your thoughts on it. That said, we do need to get to some best bets for the day. Presented, as always, by GBank, the official bank of Beeson.
I also don't like flying.
Yeah, that's – oh, and we did have a bumpy flight. But back to paying the bills. If you haven't checked out the Beeson trifecta – now is the time, and it is a combo platter here between VSiN First Bet and GBank. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card first 90 days from the account opening, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta, giving you a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st for a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta. VSiN.com/GBank is how you can get more information. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. It does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. VSiN.com/GBank. Check out the trifecta. Okay, so you are on Andrew Abbott today in that Twins-Reds game. I'm on the F5 money line for the Reds. Tell the people why, though, if they missed anything earlier.
I don't know why you're on it. You didn't tell me.
So while you're on,
I'm just messing with you.
Louise, but I'll give you more.
Yeah, Abbott's been great, so there's a lot here. Some of the good metrics for him as well are just some of the baseline stuff. He's allowed one runner fewer in 9 of his 11 starts. He's pitched at least 5 innings in 7 straight starts. Cincinnati's 8-3 in his outings. There's just really little reason that is showing you right now it's time to jump off the train. He's got some signs of regression, but like it's nothing really crazy when you're looking at it. The barrel rate allowed, I think, is probably the reason why some of these expected numbers are up there in comparison with his ERA. But even then, Stormy, FIPs at 3.28.
Yeah.
Expected ERA is at 3.02. He's still a very good pitcher. Then you get the metrics in terms of the Twins. Really average. 16th in WOBA against lefties. 17th in weighted runs created plus. They've hit just 225 against him on the season and as a whole as a lineup. Fourth highest strikeout rate against Southpaws so far this year, too. So I think that's going to be one where this is a matchup that works for him. He has been a very consistent guy, and I think that I would venture a guess he's going to be able to limit the Twins in his time out there to 2 earned runs or fewer, and thought -135 is worth the play.
Yeah, I like that thought process, especially since the bet I have on the F5 is a little bit more juicy. -150 is what I bet it at, but just putting all together what Abbott can do against this lineup, being backed by a lineup that is particularly good in the first five of games. Fourth best offense in the first five as a team, playing confident, just beat the Tigers in back-to-back games, scored 11 runs and eight respectively. So the batting support has stepped up. And then on the other side with David Festa starting for the Twins, 4.76 ERA. Not even, I mean, more often than not, he hasn't even gotten through the full five innings in a lot of these starts. So my hope is they can just take advantage a little bit there offensively and have that lead through five.
Yep. I think it makes a lot of sense. Is that the only baseball thing?
That's the only thing that I have today, but I know you did the full article today. What else do you want to give the people?
Yeah, so we had Yankees. We're only on two. Like I said, I was trying to find some Lizardo stuff because I do think that he's worth backing, but when I saw the market, the way it was priced, I got out of that really quickly because you're laying some hefty prizes. We're talking like $1.75, $1.95 on some of these props like earned runs, outs, everything like that. But Yankees -1.5, -127, the play here today too. Interesting ball game yesterday. The Angels eventually got it. Second straight game in which the Yankees have been shut out. Offense has completely disappeared. I mentioned this, that they were hitting 171 over the last five games or so. Aaron Judge has really fallen off a cliff the last six games. When you're talking about him batting just 150 over his last six, I think he's like 3-for-25, somewhere in that range. So he's fallen into a little bit of a slump. I also think, you know, we brought this up with Adam Burke many weeks ago. Judge is hitting like well over 450 on balls in play. At some point, there was going to be some regression where he's just going to start slapping the ball to defenders because you just can't continue to hit at that rate on balls in play. So I think part of this is water finding its level to an extent. But here against Hendricks, who has been awful, he's been awful away from home. I think this is probably the perfect time for this lineup to wake up, maybe even for Judge to wake up. Weather's a little bit better, it would seem, than what it was last year or last night. And on the other side, I am a Will Warren truther. I think that there's a lot of underlying metrics that point to him being a lot more effective. And now you get a lineup like the Angels, very, very extreme in terms of either really good power or absolutely nothing. Highest strike rate in Major League Baseball. That's going to work for Warren as well. I think he's going to match up nicely with his Angels lineup. And as much as I hate to say it, there's positivity around the Angels. Not deserved. I was asked today by Dave and Jensen, do you think they're going to make it to the plate? No, they're not going to make it to the postseason. They're a fun team. Okay. They should go over their win total. But I think this is where the magic runs out here after a big win yesterday. I think the Yankees get it done. -1.5 on the run line, -127.
Follow up on the Yankees conversation. We did get a tweet from Brandon J. Webb asking, this is not about TSA, although I do have one that we can close this out with in a minute if you do this quick. What would you make a price on MVP of the entire league right now in Major League Baseball, Ohtani versus Judge?
So
Judge in the AL right now is -6,000.
So both are going to win it, or like that's it?
If there was one MVP for the entire league, what would you make that price is what I'm assuming he's asking. Or if you just did a head-to-head matchup.
Well, Judge, I think, would be slightly favored there. If we're talking about, again, just Judge versus Ohtani, who would win like a league-wide MVP, Judge would be favored. I don't think it'd be by much, but I think he'd probably be like a...
Like -150?
That's what I was thinking. I think at this point, that would probably be it.
I'm curious. Chime in. I think that's an interesting conversation. The other tweet I did want to share real quickly, which was in regards to our Omaha airport talks. Brian M. said, Stormy looks like the type that shows up for a 9 a.m. flight a little after 8. JVT looks like he enjoys a beverage or two at the bar waiting for his flight. So I need the pre-check because I like to show up and just get on the plane. You don't need it because you want to hang out at the airport for a couple hours, throw back a beverage, and enjoy your time.
Interestingly enough, when we were going to Omaha, I walked by you and your husband because I was going to the bar to get a beer, and you had shown up like 45 minutes before the flight.
That's not because of me.
Wow, that's fire.
Because I was going to say this
household is not as nice as it seems on the surface.
This is a very, very accurate comp, I would say, because I am a show up and go person. My husband has a lot of anxiety around traveling and like needs to get there as early as possible to feel comfortable. He's one of those, you got to go look at the gate, make sure it exists before you go get your food or before you do anything else. So
I'm down with that.
Yes, we are of that household. Quick update, I guess, while we're talking Omaha, LSU did beat UCLA in the finisher.
Whoa. What? You're gonna gloss over the other TSA pre-check, the anti-TSA pre-check tweet?
I didn't get it. I'm not tagged in it.
Nemesis Enforcer saying, read the fine print, TSA pre-check. You waive privacy rights with consent. No guarantee of faster boarding. Former Clear user, as he points out.
Sure. No, there's no guarantee in anything.
They look at her. She's backing down already.
There's no guarantee in anything.
Wow.
Also, yeah, why would you board faster? Of course you're not going to board faster.
I think he means instead of getting through security faster.
Oh, yeah. There's no guarantee of anything. But I do have clear ANTSA pre-check.
If I'm spending $75, I want a guarantee. What are we doing here? I'm going to spend $75 and then they're going to show up to the gate in my one flight and they're going to be like, sorry, sir.
Well, the beauty of it is if the TSA line were to be longer, which it very rarely, if ever, is, you can still have access to the normal boarding line if you want to go on over
there. Good thing I paid $75 to access the normal boarding
line. I have clear and pre-check, so whichever line is the shortest one is the one you go through, and then clear actually lets you cut TSA pre-check too. So
you're ridiculous.
Now we got a lot happening.
Way too much.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound annoyed.